Things on the low and just stay off of social media, just talking too much, you know. But that's a whole nother conversation that we might get to.
Speaking of on the low, J-Bell,
okay,
I didn't want to start with this.
Okay, well, it's the 100th NFL season. We can start with something.
I didn't want to start with this, J-Bell.
I'm here. I'm listening.
We both walked in today.
Yes.
And I saw something on TV that immediately made me very, very upset.
Talk to me about this.
Okay. So, you know, I support players, soccer players in general.
Very true.
Cristiano Ronaldo used to play for Manchester United, and I'm a big Ronaldo fan, so I love Manchester United.
Yep.
We're on TV. No, we're not on TV, but we come in today to the office, and I look on TV, and I see a guy by the name of Ryan Giggs. Great player. Fantastic player for Manchester United.
Simon might have got a little interested in this conversation.
Ryan Giggs, yeah. So, I came to appreciate Ryan Giggs as a player.
Okay.
I thought this guy was, you know, I was like, okay, this guy, he's got it going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little while ago, I hear something about Ryan Giggs that made me despise him.
That's strong words. You usually don't despise people.
Despise him, J-Bell.
I gotta know what this is.
Ryan Giggs was sleeping with his brother's wife, Jason.
Jeez. What?
Ryan Giggs was sleeping with his brother's wife, Jason. Now, I'm not a saint. You're not a saint. But to me, there are some lines that you cannot cross.
How's he still
good?
Keep it.
Head coach of Wales now.
How are you going to listen to him?
Thank you. Thank you, J-Bell.
Like, every time you say something to me, I'm going to look at you and be like, you can't be looking after my best interest. It's impossible behavior. This is an impossible trait for you.
You showed a character trait that you can't be in a position of authority anymore.
Yeah, you, as a player, is what it is. But as a leader of men... Yeah, that's shocking.
And as we walked in, I saw him, and it just made me angry. And I felt like we had to address this on the podcast. I'm glad
you started with that. But once again, we have a sports podcast, and these are things that matter as players in locker rooms. You look at the authoritative figures, and truth be told, you're looking for kinks in their armor.
Yes.
Because they're challenging you in ways that you have to respond.
Yes.
So you want to look at them like, are they leading you in the right direction? I wouldn't follow.
Jason, why would you do that? Like,
That's a whole different. That's bad. That's sad. It's actually, you know what it is? It's actually sad. I'm sorry for everyone involved. And I'm sorry.
Your brother?
It's your...
Your brother?
Yeah.
Your own brother.
Truth be told, though, there's been guys in our locker room that you look at them and you go, you're a bad dude.
You're a bad guy. Yeah.
You're just a bad guy.
You're a bad
guy. And we know who those people are, and we have avoided them.
Yeah.
So it's not – they're in every sport.
But your brother, Jason?
We've seen it. Now that I'm thinking it through – we've seen it, and we've seen guys do things in the locker room to other guys that you're like, why? You don't have to be that way.
Yeah.
Anyways. That's it's the truth, though. I mean, sports across the board have the same storylines and the same challenges. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we're back.
Yeah.
After our guy Stray was here. People liked Stray.
They did enjoy him, man.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, he's such a really good dude, man.
He is.
Gregarious, has character, man. He's a good guy.
He likes what we're doing out here, and that is important because that's our guy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Once again, I'd like to keep saying this 100th NFL season because 100 is a big number. When my daughter first counted to 100,
yeah,
I was happy.
You were excited about
that. I was like, you made it.
A century. A century of football, bro.
A century, man.
It's a long time.
And now we're here to kind of keep that hopefully here for the next century.
For the next 100 years.
Yeah, in the UK.
Yeah, that'll be good.
This is awesome.
That'll be good.
I wonder if they're going to put a plaque of you and I and be like, these guys are responsible for the fall of the NFL.
For the demise.
Yeah.
We were going along nicely. These guys.
A wanted poster. Anyways, yes. We're back. It's football time. We're excited. I hope everybody's excited. Well, we got a game tonight. It's Thursday.
Big game.
I'm not sure when this is going out, but, you know, don't date us.
Yeah.
A big game tonight. These two teams, they're the forefathers of the game, right?
Yeah.
That's why they –
The original team.
Yes, and that's why instead of the Super Bowl team usually having the Thursday night game where they hang the banners, they are making it Green Bay at Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
That could be the only logical reason
why. You won two Super Bowls.
Like that. Yes.
Did you play on Thursday?
Yes.
The night at the opening week?
Yes. Well, the first time we won the Super Bowl, I injured myself that very next year, so I was out the whole year.
I watched them play the
Washington Redskins.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the second time we won the Super Bowl, we played against the Dallas Cowboys on that Thursday, and we got smacked.
The banners came down.
They came down. We were like, hey, the Cowboys are like, yeah?
Yeah, you won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, Super Bowl.
Okay, take that
with you. So, that's what happened to us. But, yes, it's a big game tonight, man. Chicago,
ooh.
Green Bay, new head coach Matt LaFleur,
ooh.
Most talented quarterback the NFL has ever seen with Aaron Rodgers going up against the Green Bay Packers. And that defense, man. That defense, man. Let's see what's going to happen, man. Who do you think is going to come out on top?
You know, I'm looking. I like that you mentioned LaFleur. I can't say that.
LaFleur.
You're just so international.
LaFleur.
You say that like a man who's traveled.
You like that?
Yeah, you just sound exquisite like that.
Yeah.
So you're the friend I always look to when the word is hard.
Yeah.
Like in class, like, I just point to you.
I got you.
Yeah, cool. All right. So, Matt.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see this Green Bay offense under Matt.
LaFleur.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to see that and how that works.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in that. And I want to
see. Have you seen this guy, Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, yeah.
Handsome, young.
He looks 12.
I was like,
he looks younger than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Is he younger than Aaron Rodgers?
I think he might be around the same. He might be younger than him. I think he might be younger than Aaron Rodgers.
He definitely looks.
Definitely younger than Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Tom Brady could probably be his father.
Matt,
but yeah,
I am your father.
Your father, Matt. But yeah, he's, I like the look of this cat, man.
Yeah. He's good. Great play caller. You know, he's the new school. So we're going to see if that works with Aaron Rodgers. He likes his things the way he likes them. We're going to see that play out. In Chicago, I'm just looking at a team that was dominant on defense, but they lose their defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
He's my former coach. He's over with Denver. So let's see if that defense is still the same, but it's going to be interesting. We're going to see who's who. I mean, it's the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
They aren't who they are yet.
Yeah.
But we'll go with that.
What is this whole – Now that I think about it, Cliff Kingsbury, he kind of looks like that also. Like, what is going on here, man? Are they trying to – is this like a modeling contest? I mean, it's supposed to be – we remember the old school, the gruff football coaches who are – when you look at them, you're like, that's a football coach right there. These guys look like models.
You remember when the Giants head coach changed his haircut?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I even forget his name. What was that guy's name anymore?
McAdoo. All of a sudden, he gets a fresh haircut. And you're like.
He got the slick back
look.
Yeah,
because you know what? The camera's on you.
Yeah.
Social media attacks you. And I guess if I'm building the team, it doesn't hurt if my head coach is over there and people want to look at him for other things besides his play calling ability.
That is a great point, Jason.
Especially if you're not winning a ton of games.
Yeah. In Arizona, you're not winning, but at least look
hey,
here.
I don't
look
know
at
what's
going
to happen in Arizona with Kingsbury, but they're supposed to have a high-flying offense. They got the first-round draft pick. And, hey, your head coach looks cool. I'll take that.
So they're not winning games, but look at our coach.
Look at him. Look at him. He just came out of the gym. Look at that man.
I hear you,
man. You got to give the fans something.
You got to give them what they want.
You might be on to something. You know, that's that. Another thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, people are talking about all these different things at the start of the season. But as a player,
yeah,
there's something that I always remember. A former guy in Dallas who I really look up to, I played with, great player. And he told me when I first met him, don't watch me in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I'm average. Mm-hmm. But mid-season, towards the end, when it counts, I get really good.
Yeah.
And he told me the reason why is because as everybody player-wise starts to break down, he maintains. Mm. So guys start to get a little slower. He was a defensive back.
Mm-hmm.
And he stays the same.
Yeah.
And I watched him, and he's right. He looked good.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything deficient in his game, but that late stretch, you're like, wow, he was dominating at his position. And even I remember special teams, the first three games I thought, I got to get out of here alive.
Yeah,
guys were so fast, so much energy, so aggressive. I was just like, I got to start fast because I can get embarrassed.
Yeah.
As the season went on, I felt like I got stronger, especially in the special teams aspect.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? What are your thoughts about that?
That is a great point, because now that you mention it, that same thing used to happen to me all the time. The first couple of games, I was never good. Like, zero sacks, one tackle. Like, I was never putting up numbers the first couple of games. But then somewhere around game four, game five, all of a sudden, you start to see me put up numbers, and you start to see me really impacting games. And I never really could quite put my finger on exactly what was causing that, because I prepared the same way the entire year. I worked hard. You would look on tape, and I was still fast, but I just wasn't making the plays. And I never really knew. Even now, I really couldn't tell you what caused that, but it was something that always happened to me every single – I'm talking about every single year. 12 years in NFL, the exact same thing happened. I would start slow, pick up steam in the middle, and finish fast every single time.
I have a thought about that.
Okay.
So as a player and as a team, okay, we always look at New England. I hate bringing New England up. Mm-hmm. But you look at New England, and the first couple of games, people are like, don't panic.
Yeah.
They're almost using this like preseason. They're figuring out who their team is because they want to identify their strengths for the late season push.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously their roster's built like that. Belichick is very aware of who he's got and what he's got. So do you think as a player, as a successful player, you have to know from year to year, you're going to change a little.
Yes.
But you're so focused on your process and how you prepare and how you take care of your body. When those players who don't do that fall off, you're hitting your stride.
Yeah, that's when you take advantage of it.
And if you have a roster built on those guys, you have a team destined to play well later in the season.
Yeah, that's really when you want to be playing your best football.
That's when it counts.
Yeah.
And if you think about roster building, that is so important, and why you have your leaders being guys like you and Strand on our team, who everybody watches how they do things, because if you start to fall in line with that, then that's who you become. That's why we're always talking about leadership. That's why you just started, people might think it's a joke, you just started with what you had a problem with, with seeing a coach misconduct.
Yeah.
And you're looking at the big picture, and the big picture is, this affects everything down the chain of command.
100%.
So that's always been a fascinating part of the game that I think people need to be aware of when they're watching the beginning of the season and these games. Let it all shake out. See what team and what players turn the corner. And usually the players that turn the corner on the teams that turn the corner.
Yeah. Might be why a lot of these really good teams, they script the first 15 plays. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They script the first 15 plays.
Yes, they do.
And then they see how things work or see how you're going to react off those first 15 plays. And then they base everything else based upon that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's the whole West Coast offense, if you ever hear that name. That was the whole premise of that.
Yeah.
Bill
Walsh.
Walsh.
Yeah.
See how I always have to just throw it out and you catch
me
at the end?
Yeah.
Bam. Excellent. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Bill Walsh. So
no concussions.
No.
Zero.
That's what it is.
I just had my first one.
Yeah, and so, we know that came from a different sport.
Yeah, it came from a different
sport. You know, that was in your own time.
I saw.
So you know who's a big disciple of that?
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid is one of the best play design callers. And on to our theme of the first game, Chicago, Matt Nagy.
Yep, same
watch
thing.
His first 15 to 20 plays. That's why Mitch Trubisky's had success. If you watch his success, just what you said, it comes in those first 15 to 20 plays.
Yes.
And after that, he has to adjust. Mm-hmm. That's where you got to see a young guy get better. But, yeah, I mean, that is the essence of football. When you watch in the beginning of the game, they're going to see how you react. Mm-hmm. They're going to see how you respond. And that's why Bill Belichick, the mad genius, by the third quarter,
he's on to you.
It's too late to go back and look at film.
Yeah.
It's too late to go back and figure out and try to say, oh, this is what they did. Mm-hmm. If your coach, this is why coaching is important, you've always said this, if he can't figure out on the fly as a player, what are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to adjust?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to blame it on coaches.
No, it's true. It's true. And sometimes I actually feel sorry for defensive coordinators. Sometimes I do.
Okay.
Because I couldn't imagine being a defensive coordinator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine being a defensive coordinator and there's an offense on the field and they're doing things and you have literally no idea how to stop them? And you're just sitting over there looking like, there was a guy, one of our defensive coordinators, right? Our safety, Antrell Rowe. True story.
Antrell's funny.
Funny guy. This is my guy, Antrell. Yeah, told me that the guy came to him and he was asking him, he was like, Antrell, what do you want me to run? And he was crying. I'm not going to name the D coordinator. But the guy was crying. He didn't know what to run. He was like, Antrell, nothing's working. What should we do out here? And at first I was laughing. But when I thought, I was like, man, can you imagine being him?
Oh, gosh.
And they're running things that you don't know what. You can't stop them. You don't know what's going on. They're running up and down the football field. Head coach Tom Coughlin is looking at you red.
What's the answer? Your job is to provide answers, Mr. Defensive Coordinator.
You have no answer for it, man. Must be terrible.
And you know.
No, he was crying. He was literally crying. I was like, Antrell, really? He was like, no. He had tears running down his eyes. He was like, Antrell, what are we supposed to do, man? I'm a player. You're asking me what we're supposed to do?
Hey. Oh, my gosh. And the fact, you know, that's how much pressure it is during them games. He broke down. Our friend, guest of the podcast, Antonio Pierce, 1 year. We're all I can't say what year because I'm going to tell on the person who was.
Yeah.
But anyways, people are all around. And he's changing defenses. Mm-hmm. And it's working.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably remember when AP would check
he would change.
And it would work every time.
Mm-hmm.
The defensive coordinator brings him out and he goes, AP, so you know I'm up for a head coaching job. And you keep changing the defenses, and everybody's saying in the paper, does the D coordinator know what he's doing? Let's start looking out for each other. You don't have to keep changing the defense. And AP's like, wait, you're basically telling me not to put us in the best position because you want this head coaching job. Of course, AP didn't pay any attention.
No attention.
Antonio Pierce didn't pay any attention and kept doing what he had to do to get us in the best calls. But these are the things that happen in a season. You know, people are trying to get head coaching jobs.
Mm-hmm.
People are trying to stay healthy and make it in free agency and get paid. By the way,
yeah,
let's let's switch gears. Let's go to...
Why did your voice change like
because
that?
Because I want to talk about something only one person here knows about.
Okay, what's
money
that?
Bags.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Must be the money segment.
Must be the money.
If you've never seen Deion Sanders, his old video, YouTube, Must Be the Money, it's hilarious. That's why we say this. But they are throwing some money around.
Yeah.
It kind of always happens towards the beginning of the season because basically in any negotiation, you know, putting a time constraint on it usually gets the people close to an agreement
because
you're going to throw out your best stuff, right? If anybody's been in any kind of negotiation, put a clock on it, things happen. So anyways, it's happening. People are getting paid. Let's get some numbers out. Simon, who what do we got now? Who got paid? Ezekiel Elliott, he just got paid.
6 years,
$90 million. Right? Jared Goff just got paid, which was smart by the Rams. You want to do that deal before Prescott does his deal,
because
Prescott is going to set the market.
Yeah.
So doing his deal first was smart by the LA
Rams.
Yeah, I think it was smart.
But can the Cowboys have two players set the market at their position?
Well, see,
that's
tough. But
ass.
They've been known to do that.
Yeah.
When they had the big three, Irvin, Aikman,
and
Emmitt Smith.
Yeah.
Now, you're the one who told me this.
Yeah.
They got the money.
Yeah,
and
they do.
When you guarantee money, you have to just put it in an escrow account. So as a team, you have to have the cash.
Yes.
Who's got more cash than the Cowboys?
Nobody. Nobody.
Who's got more cash than the Cowboys? So you got the quarterback, Jared Goff. You got the running back, Ezekiel Elliott. Jacoby Brissett just got a nice little deal because he's going to have
Colts.
To start.
Yeah.
It's a good deal for them because if he plays a one-year deal, they're going to have to pay him big money. So smart by them. Very smart moves kind of with everybody.
Yeah.
And also Jared Goff and Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
They got the same agent.
Oh, my goodness.
So Jared Goff goes and looks at Carson Wentz deals and knows the details. And he got, goodness. He got $110 million guaranteed. Jeez, my stomach hurts.
Yeah, it should.
When I bought the when I go buy anything, it hurts. But now it really hurts.
Yeah. But here's what I'll say about these contracts.
Yes.
And at first, because you see these numbers being thrown out, you see some of these defensive ends, 20-something million
man
per year, and you're like, oh my goodness, how is that possible? But then I realized that Lawrence Taylor. Probably the best pass rusher best defense player the NFL has ever seen. Probably looked at my contract and was like, how are they paying this guy that cut? The money just keeps going up and up and up, and you just have to applaud these players getting paper. You have to applaud them getting paid because that's just what it is. The money is going to continue to go up. This contract right now that you're looking at right now, Jason, I guarantee you 5 years from now, hopefully me and you are still doing this podcast, and you're going to look at this, and Jared Goff is going to be like, how are they paying this guy $200 million guaranteed? I should be playing. That's just what it is, man. It's just what it is. There's just nothing. The money's just going to keep going up.
And it makes the teams not look as bad as people try to portray them.
Yeah.
Because when they gave Kirk Cousins from the Minnesota Vikings $84 million guaranteed on a three-year deal, people were up in arms.
Lost their minds.
Oh, my gosh. That deal looks like a steal.
Yes, it does, man. It does. And but the thing is, I got to be completely honest with you. I really do like Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, man.
I really do. I think he's a fantastic running back. I think he is.
He's a game changer.
Me personally, from my ethos, the way I was brought up, I just don't value the running back position that highly. I just cannot do it, man. And here's the reason why I say this. I'm happy he got paid. He's a football player. He deserves every single penny. Everything that they pay you, you deserve. But the running back position, I think it's more about, especially in today's NFL, your line.
For sure.
So if you have the line that the Cowboys have, which arguably is the best in football.
One of them, yeah.
I just I have a hard time paying a running back that kind of money. I mean, this is just me. Yeah. And I look at Ezekiel Elliott, right? Mm-hmm. And as good as he is he a Barry Sanders type who can run without a line? Is he that kind of player? You understand what I'm trying to say?
I understand what you're saying.
Is he that kind of player that commands that kind of money? Obviously, yes, because they paid it to him, and I'm glad for him. But I just don't I value lines, man. I value the line. And I think that the running back position is – I felt like they would have been fine. I felt like the Cowboys would have been – they would have been fine, man. It pains me to say that because I want to see players continuously get paid. I think that would have been okay, man.
I think the consensus is that for the majority of the past years, people agreed with you. Mm. The running back position lost value.
Yes.
Now that started to shift, and I think it's starting to shift because of guys like Zeke, Saquon Barkley, Todd Gurley if he stays healthy. And what I mean is you want a guy who's 230 pounds. He's got to be big. Yes. He's got to be strong. He's got to be able to run the ball 20 times a game.
Yeah.
He's got to be able to catch the ball like a receiver. Mm. He has to be on the field three downs. And you know what that does for an offense.
Yeah.
It's hard to now predict what the offense is doing because you're not moving a guy in and out. Because a guy comes in, he's got his set plays, right? Mm. You know, oh, it's a pass now. They took such and such out.
Yeah.
So those kind of guys – demand value, but that still doesn't disprove what you're saying.
$15 million a season.
You have to look at it how the team is structured, and how the team values him. And you said something. They built that offensive line to be big, physical, lay on people.
Yeah.
They got a great offensive line. I mean, are you the best guard in the league?
Yes. Best tackle, you know, Tyron.
Yeah, unbelievable. When he's on, he's on.
Unbelievable.
He's just a man.
I played him before. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's – so, I mean, they just signed Collins, you know. So they're locking – there's a reason. So if that's what you do, Zeke is your – and you see what Zeke does. I mean, if they go – now, look at this. So say they go and they don't sign him.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jones, who's running out of time.
Yeah.
Goes and they lose the first 2-3 games without Zeke. Just say that happens, and the fans and everybody goes, "What if? What if? What if?" What is Zeke's negotiating power at that point?
Through the roof. Through the roof.
That is the scary part of this. If you lose to the Giants, it's get every game you lose. Zeke's like, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. By the way,
they would have won those games. They would have won those games. But
I have a question.
What you got?
All right, all these guys getting this money. Mm-hmm. They're in this situation. As a guy who's had several contracts, what happens when you get that check? Yeah. And what I mean by that is it's different than when you were a rookie and you get drafted. Mm-hmm. You've already had substantial checks come in. You got bread.
Yeah.
Money. I just slang word.
Bread, right? But they like that.
They like that.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, get that breadzilla.
Yeah.
Okay. You got that cha-ching.
Yeah.
But now you get that game changer money. So you got stuff. Like you bought stuff. Your life is pretty good. All right. And I'm saying this to you because you're a calm dude.
Yeah.
Like you don't overreact.
Yeah.
But what the hell happens in your mind? Do you got a purchase that you're like, oh, I'm getting that?
Yeah.
Well, and you got to go play some games.
Yeah. You overreact. that's just the truth. You overreact. And I 100% overreacted. I did. I made questionable decisions. But, you know, thankfully, I had a financial advisor that reined me in, and he was like, I'm going to tell you a story about that, but I remember, like, it's almost, you can't comprehend what that does to you as a person, because it's like one day you're okay, and then the next day you realize you can buy anything you want.
Oh, my gosh.
You understand what I'm trying to say? And I remember, okay, I went house shopping. And I had a really nice house that I'd bought on my rookie deal. Mm-hmm. But now, all of a sudden, I wanted the biggest house in Atlanta. You understand what I'm trying to say? So now I had to have a stupid mansion, you know. Rather than buying one Bentley, I had to have two. So now I have two Bentleys. And it's you do some of the dumbest things, man. And, you know, I remember one day, this was like a year after I'd signed the deal, my financial advisor, who I'd known since college, mm-hmm. he hits me up. He's like, OC, we need to talk. I'm like, okay, cool. What do you want to talk about? He's like, listen, you have spent so-and-so amount of dollars. I'm not going to go into the numbers. And I was like, okay, cool. He was like, no. I'm not talking about what you spent on your house or the cars. You have spent this amount of money. It's unaccounted for.
like you went to the ATM.
Yeah.
And it just went,
poof. He was like, this money is unaccounted for, OC. What are you doing? You are going to be broke. The show 30 for 30, broke. This is going to be you. You have to cut this out.
Oh,
and,
God.
You know, I'm so happy he had that conversation with me because, like, I was just spending money without thoughts, without thinking, oh, this is going to – because to you, the money is coming in, and you're like, oh.
Fast.
And so when we had that conversation, you know, I had to revert back to how I was before.
Right.
And that's why I'm able to still live the way I live now.
Yeah.
It's because of that conversation that I had with Chris Cole, my financial advisor. And it just does something to you mentally, man. And if you're not prepared for that, you know, coming from college – bro, I was so broke. Like, I was so broke, Jason. There was this club called The Front Porch, right?
What?
It's called The Front Porch.
A club?
Yeah, it was a club called The Front Porch. And
that kind of makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called The Front Porch.
Yeah.
And I remember literally, I'm not exaggerating. We would go there, on certain days, and they were charging $3 to get in, and it would be a revolt outside. $3? Where am I supposed to get $3 from? I'm not making this up. I didn't have $3 to get. I didn't have $3 to my name
to get into the front porch.
I didn't have $3, and so you go from that to having million, and there's just nothing you can do. You have to go through like a transition phase.
Yes.
And then you you go back. So that's what happened.
Do you feel like, this is fascinating. Do you feel like if it would have been the off season, it would have been more dangerous than it's like if you get paid right before the season?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because you just got time, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if the teams are thinking that.
Yeah.
They're like, don't give this to this guy.
Yeah.
With.
They're not thinking.
3 months.
Because they could care less what you do.
If you take it, you take
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah, that's your money. Hey, boom.
Yeah.
You spending that money, that's on you.
True.
You understand what I mean?
But to keep you out of trouble. Because we got to keep you locked in. You know what happened? I think they turned the air on in here.
Is it? It's
yeah,
cool.
It's feeling cool.
But they I think if they gave you the money right before the off season started, you would go nuts.
You would lose.
You would go nuts.
That's what I'm saying. It's a little dangerous.
Yeah.
So let's keep it closer to when it's time to go back to work.
That makes sense.
So then you can at least think about it.
That makes sense.
One other question on this topic, only because I've never got a check like that.
Yeah.
Is.
You getting them now, though, J-Bell. you getting them checks now, J-Bell. Don't think I'm going to let you slide.
Oh, my God.
You getting them checks now, J-Bell.
Right now. I don't know what. But what kind of. Did you feel more pressure? Did you put more pressure on yourself, or was it business as usual?
No. And the thing I remember specifically thinking when I did get that, first big payday was like, now I got to go earn this money.
Nice.
That was the first thought that came into my head. Because I wasn't – well, most people know this about me in general. I wasn't really happy. You understand what
yes.
I mean? Like, the way most people would be happy when you get paid, like, I wasn't. Mm. All I felt immediately was pressure. That was my very first feeling was, damn, now I gotta really go out there and earn this money. Because I had so much pride in, you know, what I was doing and so much family pride that I never wanted to be looked at as one of those guys who got paid and then just fell off the cliff.
Yes.
Like I never wanted to be that guy. So my first thought was, okay, now I got to work even harder. Now I got to actually go out there and perform. And this was, I got this during the season, so my game actually elevated. And right. then it was off season. That's when I went crazy. Yeah, that's when I went crazy. It was.
But, man, that's crazy. But you know what? I know you, so this is who you are. But I want the listeners to understand, this is what the evaluators, this is what the GM and the owners, this is the conversation they have.
Mm.
And they're willing to pay a guy like that, mm-hmm. like you, because they know your personality. They go, yes, OC deserves it, but what happens?
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna play better,
yeah.
Coach. He's gonna, and then they get behind that, and then they see the result, and they do this up and down their roster, correct? Because
yeah.
you want to make sure this is not going to impede a guy's project. You know what I'm trying
progress.
To say? Progress.
Yeah, I got you.
How many concussions I have?
I think you had 8, yeah. but you wouldn't remember.
No. You see how it works? Progress. You wouldn't. You how you gonna remember? You had the concussions. Oh my gosh! This is why you got the check and I didn't. That's the way. But yeah, this is what they do, and it's important. And they go through that, and that's why the money bags came out.
Mm.
But they trust me. They scan these guys individuals, and they know who is going to continue to be great.
Yes,
it's question time.
Oh, already?
Yeah.
I think it's
that time. Is that that time?
It's that time.
Is that that time on the clock?
What time is it? Can I eat now? Or what time is it?
You can't eat till 3, bro.
What time is it now?
What did they say? 1:15?
I still got like a long time to go, man.
Because J-Bell had his things.
Yeah, and J-Bell had his – I don't even know what that was, man. You had like – it was like a rice cake, and inside it looked like – you know, what I had to clean up out my son's diaper this morning. I was like, what is – at least it smelled good.
It was peanut butter, man.
But it didn't – it looked a little – what did they say? They say dodgy? It looked a little dodgy out here. He had a dodgy sandwich, man.
My sandwich looked like diapers.
Yeah, it did. It looked like a diaper.
I'm glad I already ate it because
hearing
this now, I wouldn't be able to eat it.
And then you had it packed so – you had to pack like a lunchbox. I wish you guys could see.
Oh, that's pretty good.
His little Anaya. This is an Anaya's lunchbox.
Yeah,
this
I
is definitely
it
from, an Anaya's
I stole
lunchbox.
It from my daughter. It's Anaya's. It's Anaya's. And she won't even use it.
Incredible.
She don't like the color. She's like, Daddy, that's your color.
Isn't that so strange how kids are like that?
Oh,
like, I don't
God.
Like the
color. I mean, she's
not going to eat because you don't like the color?
What is this? What are you talking about? She folds down her socks a certain way. I'm like, you live your life.
It is what it
live
is.
Live your
man.
Life. Hashtag Ask OC and Ask J-Bell.
Okay.
It's that time.
It's that time.
We like that. This is from Russell. The last podcast with Michael Strahan deserves an award on its own.
Oh, my goodness.
Best yet.
Okay.
Dangerous to listen to while driving, laughing so much. Russell, you're right. That was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to it twice, actually.
Which Russell is that? Is that the Russ that we spoke on? That's not
is that,
that Russ.
F.U. Russ?
That's not F.U. Russ.
Nah,
that can't be F.U. Russ. That's a good Russ.
Russ, are you F.U. Russ?
That's not F.U. Russ. That's
if
a good
so,
Russ.
If so.
No. That's a good Russ. He wouldn't have sent such a nice message
F.U.
if that was F.U. Russ.
Yeah. This is at Casal. Casal. What is this? Is that Casal? Casal, yeah. At Casal. He has a big question, OC.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Would you rather have feet for hands or hands for feet?
Would I rather have feet for hands or hands?
You got that one. I don't even know how to answer that.
That's tough.
Feet, if I got feet for hands. Feet? If I got feet for hands, that means I can't catch.
Yeah.
What can I do with my feet
for
my hands?
It'd be difficult to eat, and I love to eat.
Yeah,
so, no. I would rather have...
But then if you have
hands for feet, I don't know what's going on, man.
That wouldn't work because, you know, your Achilles and all that, that's strong stuff. Your feet are strong.
I'm probably not going to spend another second answering that question, man.
You know what? I think this
I'm
was
I'm not going to give you another.
You know who this question was from?
Who?
F.U. Russ.
F.U. Russ.
F.U. Russ sent that to distract us off of what we're trying to do. So, nah. Rab asked,
Rab.
Rab.
Ooh, that was our middle linebacker's name in college. He was nasty.
He was mean.
Rab.
Rab, have you? You know, if you can respond back and let us know, were you the middle back at
Troy?
Troy, yeah.
All right.
With two great defensive ends who are great NFL players. Mm. Anyways, he asked, before you ended up in the UK working for the NFL, did you have other jobs after playing? Mm-hmm. OC, we know you must have been a male model.
I definitely was a male model. 100%. 100%.
OC ain't worked a day in his life.
Nope. Actually, no. I did have some jobs, man. I really did.
Early on.
Yeah, early on. But, you know, since the NFL, nah.
Nah. OC, he didn't even want this job.
It just kind of fell into my lap.
Yeah.
I was just doing something just to be doing
it. Luckily, he loves the podcast because we love speaking to y'all, he wouldn't do this.
No chance.
Would much rather be playing in his soccer league right now.
You see, I have a game.
He has a game.
I have a game.
And I was working in finance, still am working in finance, hopefully.
Yeah.
You never know. Finance is the not for long league, too.
Yeah.
Not for
but
finance.
The NFL is such a great gig, man. If you're able to, you know, do well. Like, sometimes I see some of these players who are just holding on and keep playing. In my head, I'm like, what are you doing?
I know.
Do you know what it's like on the other side?
It's very relaxing.
It's so cool. Like, oh, my God. Like, if you've played, right, and you did what you want to do and you were sensible about your money, bro, just get out.
Just get out and chill.
Get out, man. Like, what are you doing?
Live within your means and have a good time with your family because – truly, you haven't had time before.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, like, he goes to Andrew Luck.
Right, yeah.
You know? And, you know, people are upset and all these type of things. But in my head, as soon as it happened, I understood the fan reaction.
Yes.
But for him, I was happy for him. I was happy for him. Because I was like, you play the game, you've beaten up your body, you've had all these injuries, and now you're walking away with a fat wallet, your health is intact. People don't understand the mental stress that playing in the NFL puts on you. The competition, the year in and year out, worrying about so many things when you don't perform well. All the fans beating you down, especially playing in New York, they're beating you down.
Yep.
And like once you get away from that, the first week you're like, oh, but then
you're like,
whew.
It's a serenity.
Relief. It's almost like a relief in a sense. And I think a lot of people don't understand that, man. Do what you got to do. Like play, you know, play until like you start to feel like, oh, maybe I shouldn't. And then get out, man. Make as much money as you can. Try and win Super Bowls. Try and do all that stuff. But then after a while, bro, just go sit down, man. It's fun.
You said something, too, and the guy gets paid.
Yeah.
You got that pressure. You've been hurt. You know the rehab process.
Yep.
It's tough. It's mentally draining. Imagine you never got off of that cycle.
Oh, man.
He's constantly been on that cycle, and that had to put so much mental drain on him that it was affecting him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's smart that he did it.
Smart.
It's smart. I agree. Last question, OC.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at this. This is from Lee. Remember we had our trainer, Lee?
Lee. We used to call him Lethargic.
Yeah, Lethargically. Lazy,
Lazy
Lee.
Lazy Lee.
Lethargically. He's probably going to be a head trainer soon.
Yeah.
Lee's the man.
And oddly enough, he was none of those things.
No, he was so hardworking,
such a good dude.
Get a nickname that's completely who you're not?
I have no idea. Matter of fact, Jason, the first person who I heard call him Lazy Lee was you.
Yes.
Because I remember that California accent, Lazy Lee. I was like, what?
And he worked on me every day. Lazy Lee saved my back for a year. Man, I like Lee. Lee, shout out to you.
Shout out to Lee.
We'll let you know. Great dude. So this question from Lee says, you spoke on the last pod about Michael, which is Strahan, teaching OC to get off the ball.
Yeah.
Can you explain what that means? I will let OC do that.
Yeah.
Great.
Very good
question.
And I'm very upset that I didn't explain that because I just
assumed. We got too excited.
I just knew. Okay, now, you know when they say hut hut?
I remember.
You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, so That's when the center snaps the ball to the quarterback.
Yes.
Now, there's usually a delay between when that ball moves and then when everybody else moves.
Yes.
Now, as a defensive end, the offensive lineman is usually the line of scrimmage. I'll assume you know what the line of scrimmage is. Right. The offensive lineman is usually a yard behind that.
Yeah. Cheating.
Cheating. Exactly. So now, as a defensive end, I'm lined up. This guy's already a yard behind. Now, I have to get behind him
to get to the quarterback.
To the quarterback in under 3 seconds.
For sure.
With a guy 300 and something pounds who's trying to lean on you. So if you're able to move before the offensive lineman and simultaneously with the football, you're able to make up that ground. You're able to make up that ground quicker than most other people are able to do it. So when I say getting off the ball, that's what I mean. As soon as the ball is snapped, I'm moving simultaneously with the football. And if you look at all the really good defensive ends, it jumps out at you immediately. You're like, whoa, why is that? Something is moving.
Yeah. And nobody else
is. Yeah, nobody else is moving. Something's moving quicker. And that's exactly what I'm talking about when I mean getting off on the football.
And why that's so important is we, as defensive backs, we have a clock in our head. And we knew how fast OC could get there.
Yeah.
So we would our coverage was – we simulated the speed he would get there on how we would play routes. I knew – man, they can't do all this because OC and Stray are already there. That's why when they got hurt, I got exposed.
Yeah. But you know who told me that? You know Corey Webster?
Yeah.
Corey told me that.
Yeah, my man played together.
Yeah. And he was like, we were playing the Atlanta Falcons in the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is 2011. And our D-line, we were just teeing off on the quarterback. Like every play just smack, smack, smack. And he said it got to a point in, I think it was like the third quarter, mm-hmm. where he just sat at a certain, he was like, these guys, they don't have time. They don't have the time to run these routes.
Yes.
So he's like, it changed his entire, he changed the entire way he was playing based upon what we were doing up front.
Oh, see, this is why Corey Webster was good.
Yeah.
And players like Sam Madison.
Yeah.
And guys that you played with that were really good. You knew how to adjust
mm-hmm.
throughout the season and in a game based on the dudes around you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We were playing the playoffs one time. Sam Madison came to me and said, they're attacking you today. They're not even looking over here. He said, I'm not even backpedaling. He said, you're the guy. I said, thanks for the confidence, Sam. Thanks
incredible.
For the confidence. So we have a new schedule announcement. Ooh. The Jason and OC podcast is now recording every Thursday, OC.
I like that.
Every Thursday. So look out for us to pop up on your devices, all your little devices, late Thursday p.m., hopefully in time to get you home on your commute. And if you subscribe, you won't miss anything. Definitely rate and review. All that is important. Give us some love. We'll give you some love. Remember, we gotta keep OC coming back.
Yep.
Rate, review, questions, all that. Excited. Thursday.
This song will do it for me, though. This Grace Rose, this song. Oh, my goodness.
As long as we get the uprise flowing. Holla at us next Thursday. Uprise.
Seen all your cards. If I see some, can't wait till tomorrow.